Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. It's F1 Friday, Monza this weekend. Should be a good time. And I don't have much else. I also forgot to text Cody for a trivia question for the second straight week. Last week was his fault. This week is totally my fault. But our recording schedule is all messed up because of my travel arrangements. So, Frenchie, let's talk a little bit about Zandvoort. Okay, that's it. Zandvoort ended. I think, how many weeks in a row? I feel like a broken record. There's like a few things to talk about. Red Bull was really good. Mercedes was much improved, and Ferrari screwed up again. Am I missing anything that like really happened this weekend?
I mean, there's definitely some more complicated nuances than that, but I would say if you were just to do the Cliff Notes summary, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So
those are the themes of the season for sure.
Mattia Binotto came out and like blubbered through some stuff again about how, you know, it's not, things aren't that bad. Like, you know, stop overreacting to one issue on Sainz's car. But Mattia is looking at the mic, at the minute detail. When we are looking at the big picture, I couldn't remember micro versus macro and which one is which. But it's just painful that every week they screw up at least once. Every week. Without fail. This is like, this to me is worse than Ferrari bungling away Vettel's 2018 championship hopes.
Yeah, did you hear that they kept talking about on the broadcast that Eddie Irvine was there this weekend and how they were basically recreating his absolutely terrible pit stop just to, I guess, make him feel at home?
Yeah. So obviously Max Verstappen won again. He's got 109-point championship lead. It's pretty much over. The only two times where it's ever been more than 109, at least in the last, I think the graphic said 12 or 13 years, was Lewis a handful of years ago. He was up by like 113, and it might have been, it was Vettel in 2012, I think, was up by like 119.
No, it can't be 2012 because that was a close season. It must have been like 20.
It was one of the Vettel years.
Yeah, because I thought 2012 was one of the seasons where Alonso got pretty close.
I barely can tell you what I had for breakfast this morning. So, you know, years don't mean that much to me. So, right. Other than that, I guess kind of the big talking point is after the late safety car for a Yuki Tsunoda issue. And don't worry.
Which we will talk about.
Okay. All right. We will.
Because there's a little bit more surrounding that
okay,
went
go
on,
ahead.
It seems like. All right, well, people are accusing Red Bull of basically manufacturing that, and that it was all a conspiracy. And because he had a problem, right? He thought a tire was loose, I guess, right after a pit stop. So he pulls over and I guess starts to unloosen, like he's loosening his seatbelts. And then they're like, no, it's good. We saw in the data that your car's fine. And so then he gets going again, goes into the pits, and they spend a really long time like checking over everything, whatever. And then he goes out again and feels something definitely wrong, which I think they said might have been a diff issue.
But
then he pulls over to the side, like right before turn one, right before Tarzan, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he pulled over on like the outside.
So everybody apparently was hurling abuse at Red Bull's, I guess, chief strategist, whose name I believe is Hannah Schmidt.
Yes.
And it's like, are you kidding? Like, you think that, I mean, that was the wrong point in the race for them to have done that. They would have probably done it earlier if it was really manufactured, first of all. Because, I mean, wasn't Max already pretty much like good to go at that point?
100%.
Yeah, so I mean that for, there's that to consider. And second, he's got how much of a lead in the championship? Like, it's not like it's close. It's not like they have to risk getting kicked out of the, like, excluded from the championship to get him points because it's battle that's, you know, heating up. No, he has like 90 something points lead, 100, what you say, 109 points,
yeah,
out after this race. Yeah, so making the call for AlphaTauri to like manufacture a safety car or a virtual safety car would just be ludicrous. It makes no sense. But of course, people love to, I guess, just criticize and I guess armchair quarterback after the race because they smelled something fishy that wasn't there.
Yeah, I am really glad that, I don't know if it was Red Bull or I think it might have been the F1 social media, it was like, no, it was a rear differential issue, so please stop. And also for all the people who were saying mean and nasty things to Hannah. Yeah,
I believe that's her name. Yeah, let me find for sure. But I
mean,
so.
I know
I know exactly what she looks like because I see her all the time on the stand. Yeah. And so I think that's her name.
Anyway, stop the comments, please. It's kind of mildly incredibly rude. But the other on the tail end of that caution was George Russell pretty much telling Mercedes, we need soft tires. And kind of leaving Lewis Hamilton out to dry, getting passed quickly by Max Verstappen. I mean, first off, Max timed that pass so well. If you look at, I saw like the data that Max sped up and then let off the throttle right before the start finish line so he wouldn't get a penalty and then mashed the throttle again. Like, I mean, listen, the kid's a little bit of an ass and his father is a giant ass, but he put on a masterclass move there. So, like, you just have to give credit where credit's due.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think regardless of what Mercedes did with Lewis's strategy, Max would have gotten passed. Like, the car is that superior, and he's just on another level right now. But, I mean, Lewis was clearly very pissed off. That's probably the most pissed off I've heard him in a long time on the radio with the team about not leaving Russell out, but it was Russell's call to go into the pits and put on softs, which ended up being the correct
right move. And that's what's kind of throwing me off is, well, A, it was Russell's call, B, if Hamilton, and we don't know the radio messages before his tirade, what he was calling for or if he was calling for anything. But I mean, really, this comes down to Lewis's car not speaking up and Lewis not speaking up, at least in my opinion. So Lewis has,
yeah, but I don't think it would have made a difference. I think the team made the right decision in letting George put on softs because then you end up with a better result probably than both of them being on like worn mediums and just getting probably freight trained by everybody who had just taken a pit stop.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying maybe Lewis should have gone on softs too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, then he would have probably secured a podium for sure. He would have been right there with his teammate probably in second, but they were going for a win. And I think they need to admit right now that their car's not there yet. And so that strategy was never going to work because of the pace difference in the car. So just get the best result you can and go for the smart move, the safer move, and be on the podium.
Agreed. I don't think there's too much else other than what happened to Mick Schumacher? Do you remember? I have to admit there was a point, I think it was, or oh, he had a 13-second pit stop, and that's what sent him back from, you know, starting in 7th or 8th to where he finished. But I know Mick's under a lot of pressure right now, but I'm pretty sure he finished ahead of his teammate again, and I think has been better than K-Mag the last 3 or 4 races. I think
I can look right now and just see. Yeah, I mean, K-Mag's last 4 races, so he retired in France, and then 16th, 16th, 15th, and Schumacher is 15th, 14th, 17th, 13th.
Right, so neither actually as impressive as I thought. Anyway, do you have predictions?
Yeah, I do have the predictions. I picked Sebastian Vettel, who finished 14th. He actually has looked like the slower of the two Aston Martin drivers, much to my chagrin, after he announced his retirement. And I don't like seeing that.
Then we have Esteban Ocon, I picked, who finished ninth, which compared to his teammate was pretty weak. And you picked Mick, who finished 13th, but you also had Leclerc, who finished third. So your average finish was 8th. Mine was 11th.
All right, I'll take that dub. All right.
But we had the Q2 challenge or prediction as well, and I picked Gasly, who
again
didn't make it out of Q2, so that I nailed that one. And you had Kevin Magnussen, who went out in Q1.
Yeah, well, I still win. Screw you. All right, get to the news.
All right, I wanted to just quickly touch on the Nico Rosberg comments about Ferrari, because you had kind of already started mentioning Mattia Binotto defending the team. And let's see. Nico, who's a pundit for Sky Sports, said, "Oh my goodness, Mattia Binotto keeps saying, no, no, we don't need to make any changes. Everything is going well. When is the day coming? It's not possible. Even Formula 2 teams or F3 teams do a better job at their strategy and pit stops than Ferrari. You go to the pits and there's no tire there in a normal race. At some point, they really need to start making some changes." And so clearly, Mattia was not exactly happy about that. But his defense was pretty weak. He just said, "I think it's easy when you're outside the paddock to criticize. We've got great people. And we're improving day to day, race by race." It was just a bunch of standard answers that you would expect him to say that really meant nothing.
Yeah, at this point, nothing Mattia says seems remotely believable to me, because it's the same BS every week. "Oh yeah, we've got great guys in the shop, and we're doing super well. I watched the latest Harry Potter movie during the race. And we forgot to bring the tire out because we were worried about what Voldemort was doing." That's essentially what
Hey man, the left rear tire is the hardest one to find in the garage. So I don't blame them for it being 20 seconds
totally,
slower.
Totally. It's just it's just unreal. And I don't know if it's Mattia or people below him, but the fact that this team just continues to trot out the same people every week and expect something different to happen, it's mind-numbing.
Yeah, I don't normally agree with Nico Rosberg, because I most of the time think he's really annoying. But on this case, I really do agree with him.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't understand why Ferrari keeps saying, "Oh, we're making moves to fix it," but we're not seeing that. So what are you actually doing? There's something really broken in that team, and I don't know if just getting rid of Mattia or firing certain people will fix that.
But as a start, you got to do something.
A bigger issue. Yeah, no, I agree. But I think rather than just firing people, you probably should just bring in some kind of outside person to be an advisor or some kind of consultant, someone who knows how to have success in F1. Because then you can build on what they already have. But I don't know. Maybe you're right. And maybe what they have is just inadequate.
Yeah. I at this point, something needs to change.
I know you're not the biggest
Mattia
guy. No,
I think
he's
the worst team manager in F1.
Really? Oh, you mean not most insufferable, but just
the most incompetent. Definitely not the most insufferable. I mean, he might be second most insufferable, but definitely most incompetent.
Really? Okay. Who's the most insufferable?
Most insufferable. Mike Crack. Is he the team manager?
At Aston Martin.
I just wanted to say his name, to be totally honest with you.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, because he hasn't ever said anything controversial that
I don't know who the worst is. I mean, they're all pretty annoying outside of Andreas Seidel. He's kind of one of the few who kind of sticks to his guns and doesn't really say stupid stuff.
Speaking of team principals or team personnel that appear to have really screwed up,
Let's get into the news that dropped like right after we recorded. Typical. And that was that Oscar Piastri is going to McLaren. So Alpine didn't actually have any form of contract with him that was binding in any way. They had been, I guess, just kind of shuffling their feet, not signing him to anything. And that caused his camp with Mark Webber, who I guess is his, representative, to take a McLaren deal. Because when you don't have anything in writing from Alpine and you know that their strategy is to go shove you in a Williams car for 2 years, I think it makes sense to take a McLaren deal, because even though the Alpine's the better car right now, you're going to take like the one that's guaranteed right there. I think it was a good decision, honestly. Everybody's criticizing him for like leaving the Alpine family when we're watching that car come good. And, you know, the McLaren being not so good right now and probably going to lose the fourth place in the Constructors' Championship to them. But I don't know. When Alpine is struggling that much or refusing to make any headway on signing you, that probably pisses you off and you just go and sign with another team.
I want to disagree with you just to disagree with you, but I'm not disagreeing with you because you're right. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't really have much to add other than, I mean, I know Ricardo came out and said like he's doing the right thing for his F1 career. You know, he's just trying to like play politics and keep his name on the good side of the F1 world. But I mean, what do you want? He wasn't being signed. Clearly, it ended up not only costing Alpine their driver, but also like £500,000 in legal fees. So,
yeah, and all the development that they did with Piastri as he came up the ladder.
So I don't understand how you could not. If you have a case for why Piastri is in the wrong here, I would be very interested to understand.
Agreed, because everyone's painting him as the villain here. Like, oh, he's been so unloyal to Alpine. I'm sorry. Are you supposed to wait around when you've got a competing contract with a decent team while Alpine shows basically no faith in you and they're going to go put you in a Williams for 2 years? No, you signed the McLaren contract. Yep. That's the best for you. You got to be selfish as a young upcoming F1 driver. I don't see what he did as wrong. I mean, before I was kind of questioning his loyalty, but after this has all come out, no. I mean, Alpine screwed up, and Laurent Rossi, the CEO of Alpine, he didn't even show up to the race at Zandvoort. He just had Otmar out there like answering questions. And I don't even think Otmar was involved really in most of this. Yeah, it's, I don't think Piastri's the villain here, but people are going to hate him like as soon as he comes into F1 just because of this.
It's very frustrating, but you know, gotta love those super license discussions.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, it looks like Pierre Gasly is the likely candidate to take that Alpine seat that is vacated by both Fernando Alonso and Oscar Piastri. And then his AlphaTauri seat is supposedly going to...
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, This is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Go to Colton Herta, which has, I don't know why, really frustrated a lot of people, but I believe Christian Horner said, like, Herta is the only choice to replace Gasly in the Red Bull F1 camp.
I mean, good for Colton. I know plenty have said, we don't want to see him leave IndyCar, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I get it, but I would be really excited to see Colton get an F1 chance. He's extremely talented. He's had some bad luck on some ovals, which hasn't necessarily even been his fault. You know, he had his first Indy 500. He had some sort of engine failure or some sort of fire, like literally in the opening.
Yeah, really early on.
Five laps of the race at the most. So, you know, it's hard to bag on him for that and this super license BS and whatnot. And I mean, the rules are the rules. And yeah, I think they should be followed. So if they don't grant Herta an exception, I don't blame them. They're just following the stupid rules they put in place. Doesn't mean I like the rules. It's just, it is what it is. But if Herta went to F1, I know there's a bunch of people that I've talked to that maybe aren't big F1 fans, but if Colton went to F1, would give it a, you know, give it a watch. So, you know, I think that would also, you know, be good. And plus,
do you doubt his abilities at all? I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff questioning, like, is he even good enough? Because his best finish in IndyCar is only third in the, 2020
Stop.
Championship?
And that's to certain people on the internet. He's a very talented young driver. Like any young driver, he's made rookie mistakes or young driver mistakes. Is he a little too aggressive at some points? For sure. 100%. But do I think he, given the chance, you know, to have a year or a few at AlphaTauri before maybe he got promoted and goes to Big Red Bull or somewhere else? Sure, I don't see why not. I mean, if we're taking out the ovals that are apparently his biggest problem, then we've got a solution, you know, right there. F1, no ovals.
Hey, I think if he goes over and he shows that he's competitive, then I really hope that gives some credibility to the IndyCar crop of drivers for that European crowd who really just thinks IndyCar is a joke. Because we saw Callum Ilott come out and say that IndyCar is far more difficult than F2 and the competition's way closer. And I'm going to believe the guy who, finished second in F2?
Also, the fact we have to have that discussion shows how ignorant some people are. But, you know, we'll save that for...
Yeah, the whole just comparing the two of them, you don't need to do that. Like, I get that it pisses some people off, the value of the super license points. And, yeah, it kind of angers me as well. But complaining about that on Twitter is not going to get the FIA to change it. They don't care.
You mean the FIA...
So why fight with each other over
about
it?
About the internet?
I really doubt it.
I've been doing it wrong for so many years.
I don't think that's where they take their
advice.
Decisions. Yeah, I don't think that's. I think they get advised by
I think they use YouTube videos. Yeah.
True. I mean, that's the more kind of rational decision. Yeah. No, but I hope that this ends up happening because I kind of want to see all the people who are questioning him and
are kind of like, no, you can't break the super license rules. Just get triggered by this.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Let's go trigger people.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be the episode title right there. Let's go trigger
yeah,
people.
Yeah, let's do it. It sounds good to me. I think he probably will. He has a totally different attitude than I think any of the F1 drivers right now. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I hope that the car gets better for him as he goes and drives it.
Yeah,
but
you know,
we'll see.
Scrolling late through the night on Twitter is very exhausting, but I am thankful that I was able to have my Java House this morning. Our friends at Java House, if you go to javahouse.com and use promo code PITLANE10, you can get 10% off of all your cold brew. Cold brew concentrate, cold brew K-cups. They also have decaf cold brew on there as well and a few other things. I had a few this morning to get me going because I had to be up early and I don't like waking up early. If you're in the Indianapolis area, there's 3 locations, Broad Ripple, Carmel, and a new downtown location. So yeah, might even record an episode from there in the off season when I'm actually home for like more than 3 days at a time.
Do they ship internationally? Do you know? Like for anyone who's listening internationally?
I believe the answer is yes, but I'm actually meeting with them tomorrow morning. So as of when you're listening to this, it'll have been 2 days ago. So I'll find out.
I know they ship all over the US, but you know, if any listeners in like Canada, UK,
yeah,
wherever,
I think so.
They
but
want
I don't
some
really
coffee.
Know.
All right, well, we'll find out for you guys. So getting back to the news, we have found out that Porsche's Red Bull deal that we thought was a surefire thing is probably not going to happen. And you want to know why that is? Because people like Helmut Marko exist. No, I'm just kidding. It's because
you got me all fired up there.
It's because apparently the leadership at Red Bull, the Formula One team, do not want Porsche to have any stake in the team. Whereas Dietrich Mateschitz, the, I guess, CEO, who owns, I think, a majority share of the Red Bull F1 team, but the CEO of Red Bull, the European Red Bull, was pushing for this Porsche deal, probably because he wants to get out of F1 soon, and Porsche will pay handily to acquire that team. But, oh well, I mean, we've got Audi coming at least, so... Sorry, Porsche. I guess you kind of messed up.
Snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I don't really know why. I mean, they don't have a backup plan as far as I know.
I'm curious what their next move will be. Yes, which I think is what you're alluding to.
Well, they just don't want to be an engine partner, which that's what Red Bull wants. Like, you can be our engine partner. But it sounds like Honda's just going to come back. So.
Honda.
I guess. It sounds like it's on both sides. I mean, Porsche doesn't want to do this any other way than the way that they've kind of had in mind. And Red Bull doesn't want to let them do it that way. So it's not going to work when you have two sides who are unwilling to meet in the middle.
I got nothing for you on that one.
Last couple bits of news are that Nyck de Vries is set to do an FP1 outing for the third F1 team of this season. He is going to take Sebastian Vettel's seat at Aston Martin during the Monza weekend coming up.
I mean, good for Nyck.
Are we going to see him on the grid in 2023?
Nope.
You don't think so? Not even in Williams?
Probably not.
Okay. If that's your prediction, that's your prediction. I have no idea. But he's getting a lot of attention from a lot of different teams, so we'll see. He could just be a reserve driver forever, I guess. Like Stoffel Vandoorne.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, I guess he had an F1 career, but it didn't go so well. Last thing I wanted to talk to you about is the frickin' flares.
Ah, yes.
From this weekend. That was ridiculous. Like, I know we talked about it a little bit last weekend, but I'm very glad that they're going to try to ban those from now on. And so maybe I don't understand fully they don't search people's bags or anything for events
which is
like this.
Mind-blowing when you have 60,000 people there that you're just like, yeah, you can come in, you can come in. Oh, what's that? A flare canister? Sure. Flare bazooka? Let's do it.
That you threw onto the track?
At least they got good video that of that one guy.
Yeah. Well, that would have been such a major screw up from that guy if he had prevented Max from getting pole by like delaying the session for too long.
Yeah.
Like the Max fan screws Max. That it would have just been such like amazing karma for that guy. But
yeah.
I hope that they just really get rid of these at every race. I think it's only Max's fans that appear to be doing it.
Yes. Which makes it even worse. But yeah, it's really needs you guys stop. Just stop. I know the people who are doing that 99.9% likely are not listening to this, but please stop.
True. Yeah, they listen to different podcasts.
They probably listen to the one that didn't give me a prize for winning the fantasy league last year.
Oh, shots fired.
All right, so
I love it.
Now we can talk very briefly about Monza. I don't know. I am trying to look. Oh, you got the times? All right, go for it.
Yeah, so practice one is Friday at 8 a.m. Practice two is at 11 a.m. And then practice three is Saturday at 7, followed by qualifying at 10 a.m. And then the race is 9 a.m. on Sunday, September 11th.
And I was wrong. There is no sprint this weekend.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
So.
And which is.
I guess no one messaged you that.
Nobody caught that in last week's episode. Shame on everybody listening.
No one. Maybe people caught it and just didn't tell us, but people don't like catch our mistakes, or maybe they just don't tell us.
Yeah, maybe they just write them down so they can get mad at me on Twitter 3 months later and tell me I'm unprofessional.
And have like a bulleted list to send you, like time stamped. Is Monza going to be a good race, you think? I am not sure because, I mean, these low downforce tracks, they don't seem to suit any car except the Ferrari and the Red.
Yeah, I'm a little bit not super excited because the last few races have really been snoozers for the most part. And Monza, I don't think Monza's ever really super exciting unless you have, you know, a red flag and Gasly winning, you know, something, you know, very unexpected like that happens. Will Monza be better than Zandvoort? Probably. There's more passing opportunities at Monza. It's an easier track, but there's a couple passing zones. Plus, you know, there's more straightaway. So it's certainly possible. I'll say it will be better. It'll be the best of the post summer break races so far. So, you know, we're on third week in a row. I'm not gonna say it's the best of the year or anything, but it'll be a breath of fresh air after the last few.
Okay, I like the optimistic attitude. Yes. I'm hoping it's the same, and I hope Ferrari doesn't screw up on home turf and really disappoint all their Tifosi fans, because I forgot to get to the Zandvoort incident with Carlos Sainz in the pits, the unsafe release, which was just like that was another Ferrari case of what are you doing. I mean, he said that I guess it hit anti-stall because the pits are too small, and so that Ocon showed up right there kind of sooner than he expected, but I don't know. I mean, they really ruined Sainz's race. I guess they just chose it was his weekend to have all the bad luck.
I'm not going to whine about Ferrari anymore, but yes, you are correct.
So that means it's Leclerc's turn in Monza to have something go wrong? Does it alternate? I don't remember if it kind of goes that way or if it's like one person for
it's gonna
a couple
be, it's
rounds,
gonna be,
then it switches
it's
back.
It's going to be both of them this weekend.
They've had their share pretty equally of just getting screwed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be both of them this weekend. They're going to have, you know, I don't know, they're going to be missing their front wing halfway through the race, and they're not going to have a spare or something.
Because of the extra pressure, they're going to be trying harder at Monza. Yeah, maybe. I could see that happening. And then Red Bull will just walk away with it, which will be boring. But hey, dominance is impressive to watch, regardless of, you know, kind of losing interest it because of the, there's no championship battle. It's still impressive to see Max just go on a tear.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, these it's happened more times than not where we've had championships that aren't close in F1. But seeing Max, you know, start 14th last weekend in Spa, and end up winning easily this weekend, winning relatively easily, and putting a masterclass move on Hamilton on that pass, sometimes gets lost in the "this season is so boring, nothing's happening" mindset that we tend to have.
I feel like all the action has been happening off the track.
Yes,
this season.
That would probably be accurate as well.
Yeah, last season was all about the on-track battle, and this season has just been absolutely chaotic in terms of just silly season and the craziness that's going on in the background. So Drive to Survive will be good for those of you who watch, probably. Yeah.
You know, I still haven't watched this year's Drive to Survive.
Me neither.
I don't care. Anyway.
I gave up because, I don't know, after everybody started coming out and saying that it's like so manufactured.
Yeah.
I mean, I always knew it was, but I don't know. I guess just the fact that it was so obvious and in my face that everyone was saying that made me kind of want to not watch it anymore.
Yeah. All right. One question, and then we'll get to predictions and wrap this up. Max Verstappen has 10 wins. The season record is 13. Is Max going to tie the record or beat the record?
Yeah, I think he's going to beat it.
Well, we have 8 races left. Six or seven.
I think it's seven, yeah.
All right, predictions. Yeah. One inside the top 10.
We have 7 races left. So, yeah. He has 10?
Yeah, it's 10. 10 wins.
Right now? Okay, I'd be surprised if he doesn't win at least like 4 or 5 of the next 7.
All right.
When's he going to clinch the championship?
He can't do
which
it.
Round? I don't know
which
one
is possible.
He can't do it
before Singapore. I did see that.
Okay, so he's not going to do it this weekend, even if he wins. But is he just going to clinch it at Singapore then?
I'll say the one after Singapore.
All right, so Suzuka.
Yeah, give that Honda love.
Okay.
Or the quote-unquote
Honda
love.
Yeah, you know what? They might. Yeah.
Okay.
Suzuka was where they used to end the championship a lot of years. So
now we are getting to predictions. Start it off.
All right. So the same as last week. Okay. In the top 10, I cannot resist George Russell at this point.
I mean, he is pretty dreamy. I get it.
You know what I meant, but yes, okay.
I will take Sergio Perez.
All right. When you have that good of a car, you better use it. Outside the top 10, it keeps getting harder because the gap between kind of the haves and the have-nots is expanding,
yes.
I think. You know what? I'm going to pick Alex Albon because isn't the Williams like super fast in a straight line?
Supposedly.
Yeah. So, not Latifi.
All right. I will take this is really painful. I'll take Lance Stroll.
I know, right? What? Yeah,
that hurt.
That's actually a good pick.
Yeah.
And I hate to admit that.
It hurt. Okay. Who's your elimination in Q2?
I think that's going to be Yuki.
I will take Ricardo.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably going to happen. Well, you know what? It might be surprising if he makes Q2, to be honest at this point. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just been really bad.
All right. Well, sorry for the pause there for a moment. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed listening. Enjoy the race this weekend. If you watch Laguna for IndyCar, enjoy that too. If you watch NASCAR, if there's a NASCAR race this weekend, enjoy that.
There always is. Yeah.
Just enjoy whatever you want to enjoy this weekend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.